Good afternoon and welcome to the Boldness on 3CR 8:55 AM. The Boldness is a lived experience radio program about disability talking, all things disability. Today we have been joined by Poppy Mullins, who is a young creator and an interest in a program called Pure Rumination, talking with other creators with a disability. And Poppy has many interests. And my name is Rafael Caleb. I have got a co-presenter today, Tarina. Welcome to the Boldness, Poppy. How are you doing today?
Thank you, Caleb, for having me here. And I'm really excited to have this opportunity. Thank you.
It's great. And now, Tarina, I know that you're a new presenter on The Boldness, so that people are aware of your voice, let's hear hello from Tarina. How are you doing, Tarina?
Hi, Raph. I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here as well, speaking with you and Poppy, and doing some work on The Boldness.
It's fantastic. Now, Poppy, how would you describe that your interest in radio? How did that begin?
Well, it's something that I've always had, probably because of my disability. I had to drive to a lot of different types of therapy when I was younger, and being a 7-year-old, I found that quite, it was quite cool to have to go every week, and I didn't particularly like doing it. Like, it wasn't very well set up for someone that age. And then, so the way my mum would get me to kind of comply would be in the car. She on a CD, but one day we ran out of them, and so she just put a local FM radio on, and the program I was listening to, which was like this afternoon program, and it was just two women who would talk about their kids and their lives, and I just found it really funny. And I remember thinking, they're getting paid to talk about themselves and share that with other people. That would be something that would be really, I guess, nice to do. I was kind of like, they're getting paid to talk about nothing. I could do that. And so it kind of, radio has always been an interest for me, because I guess I just find having social conversation quite difficult sometimes, because often, certain noise levels means I have to make myself understood a certain way, and it's not as easy to have conversations. So I thought if I could do that on radio, then that would be a good way of reaching all the other people who are in my situation and who want, to feel connected to the world outside, the world of disability, like the kind of closeted world that having a disability can bring to a young person's life. So that didn't eventuate till 2 years ago, when one of my carers is in a band on 4ZZZ, which is a community radio station we have up in Brisbane, and she was doing a gig for 4ZZZ's Access Areas campaign, and so I went along, and then I was there, and I sort of got swamped by a lot of 4ZZZ volunteers who were like, hey, do you want to be on the radio? And I was like, if I can, yes. And so that they said, well, the next day come for an induction and we'll show you around the station. And then at the end of the induction, like, I just thought I was getting just the tour. And then the volunteer who was showing me around, a lovely person called Salty Otten, we got to the end of the tour, and she said, all right, well, The training starts next Monday, so if you want to come down here and you can have your show. And yeah, that was how the broad interest in radio started.
Wanting to understand a bit more about pure rumination and what the intention behind having that program is, and what sort of guests and what the guests are up to on the show that you usually have on.
Well, I guess the starting point for that was I'd done a couple of jobs in advocacy, and what I noticed was that's actually can be quite a depressing space to be in, because obviously when you're doing a government conference, you tend to people only want to hear the negative stuff, or the stuff that maybe negative's the wrong word, but the stuff that really needs to be changed and improved. And I had done that work for many years when I was a very young, naive teenager, and I just would come home from a couple of the summits we did down in Canberra, and I just felt really depressed that there were a lot of people there who used wheelchairs because they had different and, I guess, more physically demanding disabilities to mine. And I couldn't find anyone who was really like me, who was kind of able to look outward. So peer rumination started as I wonder what life is like for people who, you know, aren't in the advocacy sector or don't want to be. Like, I wonder how they deal with, you know, being a young person and kind of having that unspoken role of advocacy kind of placed on you from the moment you're able to go to school and learn that you're different. I wonder if there are really people out there who have managed to step away from that, you know, had proper professional careers where they don't have to be an advocate, because I didn't know anyone, I didn't have any disabled friends. And the radio programs I've always loved are things like conversations that Richard Vandler and Sarah Knosky do on the ABC, where they sit down with someone and they just talk to them about their lives. And the other one was Desert Island Discs, where a presenter would talk to a guest and then ask them for 8 tracks that really, I guess, signify meaning in their life. And originally I just wanted the format to be I would ask my guests. And originally it was physical disability as well, because I feel like in the current disability day and age, there's a lot of neglect around, like, the emotional impact of circumstances that physically disabled will find themselves in. Like, we talk a lot about access and ramps and access in unis, but we don't talk about, you know, what do you do if you're 20 and you haven't issue with your support worker who's 2 years older than you, or what do you do when your brothers get a bit older and they start, you know, doing things that you would have liked to do? Like, how do you balance that without becoming a very strong and kind of self-loathing advocate? So it started as looking at what are those spaces that people can go into to reorient their life, and then I knew that 4ZZZ have a certain quota about how much music they play, so I thought I'll use the formula of Desert Islands and just make it a bit shorter and see if anyone else uses music to kind of puzzle things out or cheer themselves up in those moments when they feel like, okay, most of my life is normal, but there's one thing about that not normal, what do I do? So that's how it started. It was very much a sort of self-driven kind of wanting to know if there are any 20-year-olds out there who we're in the same situation where, like, 90% of their disability doesn't affect them, but then 20% can in the way that they are allowed to interact with the world. So it started as an this kind of selfish exploration of, are there other people out there who feel that way? And then, yeah, and sort of seeing, you know, what's it like for older people with physical disabilities? Like, how do they live? And how do they, you know, what are their stories like? And then just recently, because I needed more people, I thought, well, anyone in the arts loves talking about how their work is influenced by their personal life. It's one of the main things we get told as writers and artists. Look through your personal life and you'll probably find something that with enough work transformed into a good narrative. So that's how the artist started, but that's relatively new. It's generally anyone who has an interesting enough life story that they'd like to share with the general public. Like, it could just be, you know, I have a certain disability and I've just managed to have a baby, or, you know, just managed to live on my own for the first time, or, you know, meet someone for the first time. It doesn't have to be a kind of, it's not a very career-driven show, but often that's the people you get, so it's a nice little bonus in that sense.
Sounds like you're developing Pure Rumination as a platform where people can actually share their stories with the general public to connect with others?
Yes, it's very much about kind of lifting the kind of veil that disability, even in this day and age, is still like kind of shrouded in terms of, you know, what's it like living daily life, and what do people end up sort of, and what do people sort of end up doing, and yeah, just a way of connecting, and a way of going, okay, this person's got a disability, but what have they contributed to society? Like, what, it's like a yeah and to the current notions of disability that we've still got, which can get quite negative. So it's a positive way of talking with the, if that makes
sense. After everything you've just shared, I was wondering if someone was listening right now, if they had a story they didn't think was interesting enough to share, like what would you say to them? Like,
well, I always say because what I do is I send, when someone approaches me, I send them an email with the show and I say, your ability may be mentioned, but really it's about what's your career, what's your life pathway. And I think, and I would also say, like, if it's kind of happened to you and affected you in a big way, or if you're doing this thing and you're really, you know, it's giving you purpose and that's what you do and that's what, you know, your school friends might know you for. Like, there's always someone who will listen. And so you should share that story. If you are so connected to it, then share that story, because there's always a good chance that there's someone out there going, you know, some young person out there going, oh, I want to start my own fashion label, but I've got this limitations and I'm not sure how this is going to work, support work. Or, you know, I've always wondered about, you know, how would me working in the government work when I've got these sorts of limitations. So I'm always very, this is for you, it's not an expose, it's not the Jerry Springer show. Like, I'm not gonna set you up to feel ashamed or anxious or anything. It's about being able to talk to them.
What are some of the challenges or the barriers that people with a disability may encounter in the education system towards, like, building a career? Are there things to do with, let's say, isolation and remote learning, that things make it more difficult and things, barriers like that? Is there room for improvement?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked this, because this is in the very limited advocacy work that I've done. This is something that I talk about a lot, because, like, at school, if not I had a physical disability and was academically fine and everything, and my teachers knew that, I was still sort of labelled as needing to be in the special ed unit, because that's where all the teacher aids that the school supplied me with, that's where they would congregate mornings and meet and work from. So, and I guess for me, my biggest barrier was when I was given teacher aides who didn't work for me, my program manager at the time, who was responsible for, you know, scheduling what teacher aides I had, her response to that was, well, you know, you need to be more independent, because when you're an adult, you're relying on carers and they might not know, you know, how to help you, and so you need to be more independent, and it shouldn't kind of matter what person you get, because you could get anyone. So, but what that did was really hurt my confidence, like, academically and socially, because I just get people weren't suited to me. And then because the head of the unit, my program manager, you know, she didn't like end up marking me or anything. She was just there for scheduling. So if when I or my parents would come to her and say, oh, something's wrong, she'd be like, well, you know, we're just weaning Poppy off any reliances and making sure that when she's older, she knows how to communicate her needs to people and can deal with, like, working and just get her work done. And I think what that, the language that she gave me was this severe fear that, you know, on my own steam, if I was having issues with the type of support I was supplied with at school, that was my own fault. And I wasn't as intellectually, like, there as I thought I was. And so, and that is something that has been to kind of, obviously now I've finished an arts degree at uni, I've kind of, and I've found support workers to help me do my uni there, and I've realised that there are no expectations from them as to my, you know, what I can produce at my intellectual level, and no one's going to keep judging me for that. It has made it difficult to kind of keep looking for public policy work, which is, I decided is what I want to do as a profession, because when I get the emails back, and, like, I think that kind of, the rejection of not being able to get a steady job hurts for anyone, but it's also like, well, you know, maybe this isn't the place for me, and, like, and because one of my bigger things at school was, you know, I'm a writer, and often, you know, my work would be over the word limit, because I'd, you know, my idea would, my explanations of my idea would accidentally too long, and particularly in the latter years of school, that was really treated like a, oh, you've got to watch this, because if you don't get a handle on it now, how are you going to be able to succeed in doing that in professional life? So I guess, and that was a big part of the kind of needing to be more independent rhetoric. You can't, you know, you can't just keep going over the word limit and things like that. And the way it was said, it was like, I just always had this feeling that I think a lot of people who, if they want to, well, get, is like, if you're always that over, then it must be because, you know, your content's, you know, not you don't actually understand the content, and you're just, it's obviously over, because if it was a simple topic, then you're just kind of cut, kind of running over. So I guess that extra fear of, you know, maybe I didn't understand the question is always what comes up every time I sort of am for a job, that kind of thing of, oh, maybe it was because I'm not, maybe it was because I took too long, because maybe that speaks to some lack of understanding on my part. And I think that's what a lot of people get in the current system is, oh, if you have to be in a segregated school space for whatever reason, it's always going to come up that you're there because there's something not quite right with, which is why people need to give you support out of this very segregated.
Yeah, fast running out of time, Poppy. With pure rumination, with the building the career path, having an education, I'd like to thank you very much for sharing your time and your experiences. What is the best way for people to listen or to get in contact with Pure Rumination?
I guess the best way is, well, to listen is to go on the, to listen. Unfortunately, the 4ZZZ website takes the episodes down after 6 weeks, and I do the episodes quite sporadically. So I would say, just look out for my, Instagram. It's Poppy_Bloss, BOLSS. Because I always post announcing the show when I've got a new episode coming out. And so that, I think, is the quickest way. Otherwise, you can go onto the 4ZZZ website, click on Zed Digital, and find the incubators page. And the play button needs to be double tapped, or unfortunately it won't work. But that's the best way to get in contact. And if you're interested in an interview, you can either DM me at that same Instagram account, or send me an email on poppysocial00@gmail.com if you want to get in touch for an interview. I'm searching for anyone at the moment who's got a bit of an artistic career or has a disability and wants to talk about it. So that's the best way to get in contact.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Poppy, for joining us on The Boldness today. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me, Caleb, and thank you for the opportunity, and I'll certainly have to listen out for past episodes, and thank you to everyone for listening, and yeah, I hope that it was as nice an interview to listen to as it was to participate in, so thank you.
Again, thank you very much for the time. We've been talking with Poppy Mullins, who is a writer with a disability and a radio presenter for Pure Rumination on 4ZZZ up in Brisbane. And thank you very much to Serena, one of the new presenters at The Boldness. It's been great that you've had us on board.
The Boldness will be back on Wednesday, the 19th of August, and a quick call out to a new writing group, Our Words, Our Way, which is at the Langsim Library in Carlton. There is also an online component of Our Words, Our Way. It's run by Lyndall Caffrey. For more information, go to the Kath Langsim website or Facebook, Our Words, Our Way. Let's finish up with a song, Jambula by Brendy Bilili. Thank you very much for joining me tonight. And if you don't think the revolution has started, this is 3CR, Voice of the People. Thank you for joining us tonight.